shit.
That's the welcome to the Rolling Mall emergency podcast for Leicester Tigers fans emergency podcast. If you're getting an emergency podcast, it's not going to be a good news podcast, is it? And that's why the word shit probably perfectly encapsulates where we are right now. Yeah, in case you've been living under a rock, we're talking, of course, about Ellis Genge announcing today, well, the club announcing today that Genge will not be with us after next season. He will be leaving. And the rumours that are circulating is that he will be heading home to Bristol.
Mate, I'm gutted. I'm more gutted about this than when Jen said I couldn't have the TV on the wedding day to watch the Leicester game. This is how gutted I am.
I did say at the time I thought you were getting your marriage off to a pretty dangerous start by letting that one slide. But I mean, this is really rubbish news. I remember that we sort of consoled ourselves when Ford was leaving and we said, well, you know, at least it's not Genge. Well, I'm keeping my trap shut from now on. I mean, it is like with Ford leaving and Genge leaving, you have to say that the brain and a good part of the heartbeat of the club are leaving. And it might throw this season into quite sharp focus in saying, Christ, you know, if we're going to win something, this season probably represents our best shot. But again, pretty stunning news, really, and absolutely gutting.
It is. When the rumour first surfaced, we sort of went, because it was Sarah's originally, and we sort of went, yeah, I think he'd probably stick with Leicester. With this one now, and it all clues are pointing towards Bristol, it's exactly the same sort of reaction when Fordy left, where you go, oh my God, I'm gutted. But I sort of understand it, but I'm still gutted at the same time. And it is pure heartbreak at this moment in time. Like it's a tough one to take, especially in the shot in such quick focus of Fordy leaving as well. It's a pretty damaging 1-2 punch, I've got to admit.
So with Ellis, it comes as a shock because you can see how passionate he is about the club. He really wears his heart on his sleeve, and you saw that at the weekend. There were tears in his eyes. Perhaps that might have had something to do with the decision he knew he was making, and he knew how hard it was going to be. But in terms of this decision, what do we know about it? Questions will be asked of the club. Have they done enough? Have they matched whatever was on the table? He's going to Bristol, and what do we think his reasons are for that?
I think to answer the first point of why is he going, I think the answer of where his destination is there. Bristol is probably the only club I think he probably would have left us for at this stage in the game. Given that we're top of the table, given the form we've been in, given the whole setup at the club, I do expect him to go to Bristol. And yeah, I mean, it fits the narrative for personal reasons. So I can understand that, you know, having done personally the Leicester to Bristol thing regularly with work, it is a pretty minging journey. Obviously you're down there and you have to come up, you know, the opposite.
I'm living the opposite Ellis Genge life, mate, because I live in, well, just south of Bristol. And obviously I try to come up to Leicester to see my family as much as I can. I've got a young kid. Ellis has got a young kid, and I don't know if he's got family nearby. I think I read that they don't. And I can tell you that is not fun, particularly at the moment, as I've been texting you, whinging, saying how poorly my little one is, and I'm on 2 hours sleep per night at the moment, and it's crap.
But you look so fresh-faced. You look so fresh-faced.
I've had so much coffee now. This is effectively drug-induced enthusiasm. But it means that you don't have that support network around you, and that can really, really grate. And particularly if he's away a lot with rugby, that's putting a lot of pressure on his partner as well. The pandemic, I think, has probably shifted a lot of priorities. We've seen that with Ford feeling that he wants to go back up north. We're seeing it now with Ellis potentially going to Bristol. And I think that we have to accept that that is as valid a reason, if not more valid a reason now than a lot of other reasons that perhaps would have been a priority before, be that money, be that rugby progression. Because, you know, I'll be blunt, I'm looking at the way Bristol playing now and I think that they do have a bit of an issue. I think they've got quite an unbalanced squad. And therefore, I'm not looking at this, seeing it as a rugby decision. I am seeing it as a heart decision, though. He will be a fucking phenomenal asset for them, as he will be for any team. But the Bristol move would be the one that makes sense from that personal point of view.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you look at the table and the form of the two teams, you have to imagine that personal reasons is the main drag there. In terms of the club and how they've approached things, from reading the Telegraph's article this evening about it, that it read as though we've done everything we could in our powers. We've either matched or put a pretty hefty contract down for him to have a look at. Clearly, it was a tough decision for him. So I suspect when it comes down to these sort of decisions, you do need something, a bit of a clincher to make it for you. And I suspect the shot of coming home has probably been that clincher that's done it. And it's those small 1 or 2% things that make a difference between him staying and him going. So I suspect the club and Steve, they would have fought pretty hard for him. They'd have pretty made sure how much he's valued and loved up here. But I think when it's the choice against Bristol, I don't think we really stood much of a realistic shot at keeping him, because I think that's where his heart lies. And once the heart comes into it, I think that's a pretty big pull for him.
That's right. And I think you said 1 to 2% differences going home. I think that might have been the case before. I think it's a bigger percentage now. I think it's on par with a lot of other factors, if not more so. And as I said, with his family position now, having a young family, I think it is now quite an important thing. It is interesting. I've seen a couple of people already start to suggest, well, why didn't the club sort of, you know, blow Bristol out of the water with a contract offer? But if there's one thing this club is trying to get away from, I think it's betting against itself, effectively throwing money at people to try and get them to stay. All we can do, in my view, is match an offer for a player, because that's going to be their fair market value. And if we've done that and he's chosen another club, then he doesn't want to be here next year. That's, you know, you can dress it up as nicely as you want. Oh, he wants to go home, etc. But by choosing that, he's choosing, I don't want to be at Leicester next year. And if you have to dissuade him from that by paying way more than he would get at Bristol, then it's perhaps it shows you it's not the right person to have for next season. His heart's already made his mind up for him and he's already going to go at another club. So from my perspective, the club's probably done everything right as long as they've tried to match the offer, and there's not a huge amount more that you can do. From my perspective, and I think you agree with this, I expected him to be at the club maybe for the next contract run, for the next 3 seasons or so, picking up a pretty hefty wedge and then getting another hefty wedge perhaps at Bristol in what you would say might be his last big contract, which would be at the age of about 29 or 30 or so. Did you think that was what was going to happen?
Yeah, I agree with that. I expected a nice 3-year deal for Ellis now, or he's got, I think, a year left on his current deal. So an extension to 2 years or whatever to take him up to that 29 place, win a couple of trophies, reverse, you know, maybe do a bit of damage across domestically and in Europe. And then, like you say, go home and earn a decent whack back home and in the Southwest. So I'm surprised it's now. And it's the same with Fordy as well. I thought Fordy had another contract in him with us before going home. I've been proven wrong on both points. And so I add it to a list of times I've been proven wrong. But it's just, I can see why. And like you said, it's a time element that I may be surprised by. It's ballsy by Bristol, considering where they're at and how their sort of wage bill looks. I mean, we spoke with Charlie on Monday and he said, obviously, there's going to be a fair few movers and shakers knocking around. The smaller salary cap is going to have an impact on it. And you say about, should we have blown them out of the water? Well, I don't think we've got the headroom to do so. And I think you know, like Charlie said, we've got the perfect storm coming up of the youngsters needing some new contracts given. We now have another pot to utilise. We've probably got another 300 grand, 350 to use on a replacement plus additional services across the board. So again, the art of manipulating the squad and the salary cap goes on, but I don't think we could have done much more in terms of throwing more money at him.
I agree. And again, I think what we're trying to do is move away from the multi-layered salary position where you have those who are earning bucket loads and those who are earning bucket change. And admittedly, Pollard coming in on a massive contract perhaps doesn't really prove me right on that. But for the rest of the squad, I don't think you're seeing the huge discrepancies that you might have seen before. But if I go and look over enviously now at Bristol, now they're getting Ellis, I'm seeing guys like Piatow, Randrandra, Sinclair, Luatua, and soon to be Genge. Obviously, I don't know if they're all staying or not, but I'm assuming they are. they are going to account, I suspect, for about 70% of the wage bill, which means that you have a huge amount, the whole spine and the core of that squad, if you like, who are going to be on peanuts next to that. And that is going to be a problem, I think, for Bristol, whilst it appears that we are trying to effectively have a more even distribution of salary, which should, in theory, mean to a more harmonious squad.
I think that's a huge point. If you look across, they've signed McGinty as well for next season as well. And I can't imagine he's gone down on a on a cheap deal. So again, I think Bristol is the one that interests me because I do think some of their problems that they're starting to see this season, I do think is caused by having a bit of imbalance in the salary of the squad, because you've got lads who've got them promoted and have took them to the top fours. And if they're not being rewarded from that by the club, and you know people are coming in on these big deals and taking the money, then there's going to be a bit of resentment there. Because if you've grafted your nuts off and done your bit by the club, and the club aren't giving you the, something back, yeah, I'd be feeling pretty hacked off by that. And I think where, like you say, the Pollard deal is probably a bit of an odd one, but it's an outlier because I think it's a marquee replacement, so it will always look a bit weird, but. On that, all you're doing is swapping one marquee for the other. So there's not really too much of an imbalance. The issue is now is where it comes to Genji's replacement. And like you said, I would rather be in a situation where you've got a squad of 30, 40 guys on, roughly speaking, equivalent or fairly even money. So you've not got such disparities across the board. And you have a sense of harmony about it and everyone knows where they stand. Than rather, like you say, the dark old days of when we had Manu and everyone else on big whack and it created the problems that we found ourselves in. So I think the club are in a situation where they've got to be careful with it. And I think they're probably doing the right thing by not chasing it. And I'd rather have, like you say, the balance in the long term rather than a short term chasing your tail situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've heard a few people say, who are we going to replace him with? I think, again, similar to Fordy, you don't replace Ellis. You can't replace him. He's irreplaceable. He's a great scrummager, very underrated scrummager. In the loose, he is absolutely superb, although for the last 2 weeks, he has had hands like tits. But he's going to be...
I love that phrase. I love that phrase.
It gets to the point, doesn't it? But but usually he is much, much better than that, and he is absolutely phenomenal around the park and is a huge part of what we do. Are we going to go to the market to replace him, do you think?
I'd expect a replacement to come in, as tough as a task that is. I think if you look at the loose heads that we've got at the moment, if you look at Neffy, Van Vaik, and Whitcomb, and Richardson.
Richardson, yeah.
Richardson, I think, is purely there as an emergency cover. So I'm not too expectant on him being in the squad too much next year. I think he's just a bit of cover. You then look at Neffy, Whitcomb, and Van Vaik. Whitcomb, for me, I think, is the loose head of the future. I think he's got a real
which is almost a bit annoying why Ellis is leaving now, but that's what I thought. I thought, tell you what, in about 3 years' time when he leaves, James Whitcomb will just be getting to a point where he's probably ready to be a starter and we're going to lose a lot less. As it stands, he already seems like a massive character within the club and already a bit of a leader within the club. So it could just be, I think I mentioned it to you on Twitter, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if we just stick on this and say, let's start throwing him in a bit more this season and see how he goes, but it would be a bit early and I think we'd have a season or two of it being a bit rough on that side.
I think you try and go for a gun Lucy to as a replacement, and you then I expect to see two of Van Vaik, Neffy and Whitcomb next season. So I suspect you might lose Neffy. Obviously France, maybe
he's that Neffy sort of plays tight head as well, remember?
Yeah, so potentially we may see a little bit of shifting around, but I'd expect us to go for a gun loose head and use the three that I've just mentioned as a sort of cover and to try and bring Whitcomb on. In terms of replacements, now there's a question. I mean, you've got Abano down at Bath. Obviously, he's been linked with salaries and he's had two knee ACL injuries. So that's a bit
it's
of
the
a
injuries that do it for me, mate, because those knee problems, I can tell you from experience, don't go away easily. And he is a big boy putting a lot of weight through his knees.
And as Alou said, you probably need your knees to be fairly intact to push.
So, yeah, a little bit.
So having not ever gone anywhere near a scrum other than just to like watch it, don't get involved in that sort of shenanigans. I think the injuries thing with Urbano, I can understand being a bit of a downside. Joe Marler, maybe. I mean, it's a bit of a left field.
No, that is way too left field. That's left field.
So I would expect us to go head south to South Africa.
Mm-hmm. I do as well. I don't know who you're going to say because he posted a cryptic tweet the other day, didn't he?
Yes, and a friend of the show, John Szczesinski, has linked it to me. And
cheers, John.
I can't pronounce his name, but he's got a big name and he's a big boy.
Oh, Ox. Yes. Ox and Jay. Yeah. Ox just call him. That's why everyone calls him Ox. I think it's a bit easier to say. But he is part of one of South Africa's two world class front rows. He was the starter against England. And I think he was against the Lions as well. And he usually gets replaced by Kitsoff, or he replaces Kitsoff for half the game. Unbelievably good scrummager. Absolutely destructive. Very handy around the park. Not as destructive as Ellis in the sense that he's not going to go around sitting people down and setting up highlights reels, but he is a very, very good little carrier because he's quite a short guy. He's basically a little dumper truck, and he would be a very nice little replacement for the Rhino, albeit, and this isn't me being a little Englander or anything like that, it does then add yet another South African to our contingent. And I spent a lot of time bagging with teams like Sale and Saracens for having South Africans. But, you know, if it's the only, you know, viable option when we lose one of our best players, another England player, then I think you've got to do what you've got to do.
Yeah, I as much as I'd like to see an English replacement come in, more just to keep a core of young English talent through the squad, I don't have an issue with, per se, with being in another South African. If they're good enough, I'm not really too fussed about where they come from, to be honest. I think you need certainly a gun just to help Whitcomb. So someone of his ilk, I think, would be a good replacement and would allow Whitcomb to come through. Someone who got in touch on Twitter also said, what about bringing De Bruyne back? Obviously went up to Edinburgh. I could see it. He also plays tight head, and I think he's a bit more destructive on the tight head. But
yeah,
does he see himself as more of a tight head and was only playing loose head to
give? He was adequate, I thought, as a loose head. I wouldn't say he was much better than Van Dijk at loose head, but he was pretty destructive at tight head from the couple of games he played there. But it was just obviously we had Coley and Hazy, so he didn't need him so much there when we needed him on the loose head. It'll be interesting to see. And obviously, please do get in touch if you've got any suggestions on who we might be looking at. Obviously, Kitsoff is a loose head as well, but I think he's recently tied himself down to the Stormers, if I'm remembering correctly.
Who would you go for, out of interest?
I would be tempted to stick. And would the you? Reason, for, but as long as we were keeping Neffy, and I'm not convinced by Van Dijk. I'm sorry, Francois. He had a great game against Northampton, but I'm not entirely convinced. I just know that James Whitcomb is going to be really good in a season or two. And it's whether or not you use that money then to go and keep guys like Stewart, guys like Kelly, who are going to be deservedly asking for much better contracts very soon. The alternative for me would be, I wouldn't go for Urbano. I really like the guy. I think he's quality, but I just think he's too much of a risk on the injury front. I also think he's probably going to fit in better at Saracens, where he's got the family link there to Maro Itoje, I believe. I'd be very excited if we did bring in Ox, because I think he is a superb player. Him and Nikanye, I think, are just two of the best scrummages in the world. Seem like really nice guys as well. Obviously, he will know Pollard, he will know Allard, and that might be the connection that we've already got.
Yeah, definitely. I think our business venture of a Biltong van, if he did come in, would need to be hurried up, because I do think we'd make an absolute killing from it. Podcasting and Biltong, I think, would be our...
Yeah, sod the podcast, mate, if there's money to be made in the Biltong, because we're hemorrhaging it, making this at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Elliot and Mike's Biltong van might have to come into action. But yeah, I could see us going down that route. The one thing I would say is that in years gone by, losing one of Ford or of Ford and Genge or both, as we've now happened, would have precipitated an absolute avalanche of shit at the club. And it would be a panic situation, and they'd be behind closed doors. There'd be a lot of frantic going, oh my God, what are we going to do? And I'd have very little confidence that the replacements and the the knock-on effect wouldn't be a negative. I think now, I suspect we may have known about this for a few weeks. I suspect Borthwick plans everything. As I said before, Borthwick plans having a cup of tea in the morning. So he has a plan for this, no doubt. I suspect we may have a replacement lined up already, which is probably why we're trying to get it done and announce it out the way now, just to stop any speculation. I expect we probably have a replacement already sorted. I have confidence in Borthwick and the club and the overall structure of the recruitment team, that no matter whoever comes in, has been researched, has been well thought through, has been sold what we're about and what we're doing and what we're looking to achieve. And they're fully bought into that for the rugby reasons rather than a whole, it's a money grab. So no matter what happens next, I take comfort in the fact that I suspect we will be able to cope with it, which we couldn't have said 2 or 3 years ago.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, sorry, look how quick the turnaround was from Ford saying, I'm leaving, or the club announcing Ford saying, I'm leaving, and then the club announcing Pollard arriving. Now, contract negotiations don't take that short amount of time. So it makes you wonder whether or not actually this has been announced by Ellis for a while, or it has been told by Ford for a while. And actually, what one of the agreements was with that is that they keep it quiet until the club has something ready to announce themselves as a replacement. Perhaps that might be it. I don't know. But I agree. I think something that has really developed under Steve and under Kev has been club for, and Andrea, to be fair, has been club first above everything. Nobody is bigger than the club. And we learned that when Manu left, and we've got a cracking set of centres now that we could only have dreamed of before. So again, I think the club will come out of this somehow better. It is hard to see how right now, but I'm sure we will do it. That's my optimistic end from the shit opening.
Mate, we've gone full circle. This is like therapy.
Well, I hope it's been cathartic for everybody else as well listening. Do get in touch, therollingmall@outlook.com or at rollingmallpod on Twitter. Elliot, we should probably just point out, you're not going to be here for next week's pod, are you?
No, I am away. I'm on my honeymoon properly this time, proper honeymoon. I'm off to Las Vegas.
Okay, put it all on 37. No, don't put it all on 37. That's ludicrous. I'll send you 10 quid. Put that on 37. And I expect to see the winnings coming back, please.
Yeah, the exchange rate's a little bit dodgy, but I'll make sure you get something back. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, we lost it all in the commission.
Okay. But yeah, I won't be here, unfortunately, but in sunny Las Vegas.
Okay, well, don't worry. We've got a sunny replacement for you. Jess Boniard will be stepping in for you next week. So looking forward to speaking to Jess. Obviously, we'll be missing you entirely, but have a lovely honeymoon. And everyone else, hope you have a good rest of the week. It's not too ruined by this. Looking forward to the game against Connacht on Sunday. Bye-bye.
Bye.